showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Sometimes we get to the spot where we feel like we know everything and we don't need to learn anything more. But we're reminded over and over when we come passages like this that we need to be careful and check the reasons why we do what we do and make sure that we have the right heart about it. Or we see how the Pharisees continually attack Jesus over and over. We even see here that John's disciples, which were known for piety, which were known for wanting to follow the Lord, is also seems like attacking too. So Lord, help us to be careful. Help us to have a great love and desire for you. Help us to understand the reason that Jesus came and not try to mix the law with grace. And Lord, that you would help us to understand this passage. And Lord, if we have questions about who you are, that it would help us to go and want to serve you and learn about you. And Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so this is one of those passages of scriptures that are a little bit interesting. We sat as a family yesterday and discussed this a little bit, because in this passage of scripture, towards the end, verse number 26, Jesus gives the example about David eating the showbread that was only lawful for the priest. And he gives that as an example, saying to these Pharisees that have been giving him a hard time, saying, hey, don't you remember this? So, but before we get to that, let's look here. And the idea behind it, and once again, it's Sunday school, so we're just going to kind of walk through it a little bit. The idea here is, many times when we begin to do things for the Lord, sometimes we forget about the inward part. The inward part's more important than the outward part. And here, these Pharisees were someone who was known and attacked Jesus over and over and over, trying to give him a hard time based off of their laws. Now, I don't think Jesus broke the law because it would have been sin. I don't think his disciples broke the law here because it would have been sin. But the Pharisees, what they had done, and the religious leaders of the day had taken the law and they had added and added and added and added and added to it, to where they had made the Sabbath a day that instead of being for the people, they made it man was made for the Sabbath. And that's just not the case. Here at the beginning, you see here where I think the danger is here is there's religious piety, religious hypocrisy that sometimes enters in and it can affect good people. Look what it says in verse number 18. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they come and say unto him, why do disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? Now, you say, Pastor, isn't fasting good? It is. Especially in the different dispensation that we have in seeking after God, there's times when we learn about fasting that is, God says, look, if you need a special answer to prayer, you know, focus on him. We think about fasting being something that we set apart ourselves, set apart things that are normal, like eating, maybe sleeping, maybe certain entertainments. You know, Daniel talked about how he fasted from other things besides just basic food elements. And why do we do that? Because we seek after God, because we want God to speak our heart about a certain request or a certain situation or about certain guidance. Now, the Pharisees had come to a spot that they had made fasting a ritual. A fasting where a ritual was later on, it says to them, hey, look, we fast twice a week. You go in the Old Testament, does it talk about fasting? A little bit. Does it say in the law you're supposed to fast? There's only one instance in there that says, hey, this is a spot where you're supposed to deprive yourself. Just one time in all the law. Now, the Pharisees have come, and they've added, and they've added so much to it that it's become a ritual, it's become a show, it's become all these things to make themselves look good, to make themselves look important, make themselves look, I'm super close to God. And now when Jesus' disciples are not falling in line with their man-made rituals, and their man-made this, and their man-made that, they come up to him, and they say, hey, why aren't you doing what we're doing? We're more spiritual than you are. And Jesus kind of gets puts him in their place. And Jesus, and once again, if you want to show people what you're doing, then you got fasting all wrong. Matthew chapter 6 talks about fasting a little bit and talks about how you're supposed to, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. Because that's what these guys were. They were hypocrites. of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head with and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Here it is. He is condemning this idea of being a hypocrite about it and saying, why are you asking me about fasting? This is something that's between you and the Lord, but you want to do it for a show. There's a problem with this. And they begin to condemn, and they begin to give a hard time about everything else and everyone else. And I know I've been in churches with people like this before, and it's discouraging because they want everybody to act like them, but they don't realize how much of a hypocrisy it is when they themselves are struggling. And so here, the dangerous thing is found in verse 18 when he says the disciples of John is there. Nowhere do you see the disciples of John, the disciples of the Pharisee lining up. Nowhere do you see that the Pharisees and John the Baptist are getting along. Pretty much John the Baptist is preaching and teaching hard against the Pharisees and the things they're doing about the hypocrisy. Hey, get right, repent. He's calling out to them, and they don't like them. But we see the Pharisees going over to this group of believers that maybe are struggling and that are they're, John the Baptist is in jail and all those other things, and going over to them, and he's saying to them, hey, look, why aren't they fasting? Why aren't they doing what we're doing? Look, you fast, I fast. There must be something wrong with them. So I think we've got to be really careful with our own religion, with all our own who we are, and make sure that we do things from his book and do things from the word of God. Because sometimes it's very easy to get very pharisaical, and sometimes it's easy to become hypocritical and be a distraction and just turn around and say, hey, as long as you're doing it this way, then everything's okay. If your heart's not okay, then it's not okay. And you have gone, and many times I've seen people go up to someone else and just discourage them as saying, hey, they should be doing this and they should be doing that, and their heart is wrong. And that's what's going on with these Pharisees and these disciples of John. I believe they've discouraged these disciples of John, who is going through so much and already dealing with their leader being in jail, maybe already gone. Now, is fasting wrong? The answer is no. There's even a spot in the Bible that says, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There was a time when they couldn't cast out the demon. He says, look, this is what you need to focus on. Get on your knees and fast. Stop with all this outward stuff. If you want power, that's where it comes from. But it doesn't say that you do it in front of men. And many times, this is one thing I read from one preacher said that what they would do is sometimes they would they would get their faces fasting, soon then went down into a display of how good a person was. The Pharisees, when they fast, wore sackcloth. They rubbed ashes on their face, and they did their best to look hungry and lowly. Rather than using a practice at a time to place all their attention on God, they use their opportunity of fasting to portray themselves as being righteous and a hope that somebody will notice them. So it's a challenge here to make sure that we're right. But also, let's not try to force what God has put in our hearts on somebody else, too. And keep on reading, and look how Jesus answered. He says, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? Jesus is saying, and we know the illustrations about him being the groom, the church being the bride. He says, look, this is a time of fasting for my disciples. If there's a wedding going on, what happens? It's a week of fasting. No, it's a week of rejoicing. It's something. He says, look, while I'm here, of course you're not going to fast. This is a time of rejoicing. But there's a day coming that they're going to fast. It even says that in verse 20, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from him, and then shall they fast in those days. But he's saying, look, you can't sit there and judge somebody else for what they're doing or not doing. This is something that's personal between you and God. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to take all their laws and all their rituals and all those other things and put them over here. And that's when it talks about here, when it says in verse 21, no man seweth a piece of new cloth on the old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Now, I'm not a sewer at all, but I know this is what the explanation is, that if there was a hole inside of a garment, and they took a new piece of cloth. Now, if the cloth had not been washed, it would shrink sometimes, especially back in Bible times. So what would happen is that they would take this new piece of cloth, they fill in that hole, and anybody ever wear patches in their clothes before? I know that that's some of these generations. Yeah, I put patches in there, but they had to make sure that it was already pre-washed so that way it wasn't going to shrink. Because once you put the patch into the hole, if you go and you wash it a few times, it shrinks. What happens? It actually causes a hole and actually causes a pulling away. So he says you cannot mix in your religious rituals with the grace that God is trying to bring. You cannot bring something that is old with something that's new. They don't come together. Even with the law, he had come to fulfill the law, and he wasn't talking about breaking the law. He was talking about here, he's saying, these are important that we understand and we get across that the truth that's here is that Jesus is something that's new, and you can't just keep on adding your rules to it. Sort of like grace. Grace and the Judaizers tried to do that. When the Gentiles got there, they said, well, no, they got to follow this law and this law and this law, but we're saved by grace. Now, is there holy living? Of course there's holy living. Do I believe in holy living? Yes, we preach and teach it. But what they're trying to do is take their own man-made rituals and force it on somebody else. If the Bible says it, we believe it and we do it, yes. But he says, look, you can't mix the two together. The law was there to show us we cannot get there on our own. But we're wrong. And here in verse 22, he uses another example. He says, but no man putteth new wine into an old bottle, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottle will be marred. With new wine must be put into new bottles. Their bottles, their goatskins, many times was what they would use, and their goatskins would become hard after a time. And if you put new wine or new fruit juice inside the goatskins and it began ferment and began to grow some, it would cause the old bottles to break. The same thing. You can't take the old and try to mix it with the new. You can't have the grace of Jesus Christ and then say, hey, you got to follow this law to be a Christian. You got to do this to be a Christian. It's either we're saved by grace through faith or we're saved by keeping the law, and then we would all be lost because we're all that way. So he is teaching this group. I think John the Baptist's disciples, nothing wrong with asking a question, and he would have learned from this. There's nothing wrong with fasting. It's a good thing to do. But when we do it for piety, wrong. I'm sorry, when we do it for a show, it's wrong. It's a good thing to live holy. It's a good thing to dress right. It's a good thing to treat other people right. It's a good thing to show up for church. It's a good thing to sing to the Lord. But when you do it for show, you miss the whole point of it. And that's where he comes in the next story. Came to pass as he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day that his disciples began as they went to pluck corn. They began to pluck the corn because they were hungry. It says that in different passages of Scripture also. And the Pharisees said unto them, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day do that which is not lawful? So it's the same type of story. He's saying, hey, look, your disciples are doing something wrong. Well, you go back to the law. It doesn't say that they cannot take something off and put it in their mouth. Now, they could not work to be able to save for later and for their own businesses. But if you go and look at it, if you go and look at that word about corn, it's talking more than likely about wheat. That's there, and that's there, and they're there, and they're, once again, giving them a hard time. Why are your disciples doing this? It's not lawful. It's not right. How many times we go, oh, what you're doing is wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. And he said, okay, show me from the Bible why it's wrong. And this is not a popular message when it comes to churches like ours because we believe in standards. We believe in what's right. But so many times people become hypocritical with it, and they condemn others, and they look down upon others. We need to be careful that what we believe comes from the Bible, comes from the Word of God, and that's what we stand on. And if you can show, yes, I know we develop our principles, and we develop our standards, and we develop our convictions from the Word of God, and obviously that is important and it's key, but you see in this passage here, they're condemning him not because of something they were doing to break the law, because it wasn't against the law. It was breaking their man-made rituals. You say that's wrong, but show me in the Bible why it's wrong. And there's lots of people. I had somebody give me a hard time, not giving me a hard time, but was asking me about my beard. You know, preachers way back when used to preach. They never wore beards. You know, they preached against beards. And back in the times when there was the hippie generation, they did preach against beards. And they preached against wearing jeans. I said, well, Jesus had a beard. John the Baptist had a beard. So there must not be anything wrong with it. And I think they were playing a little bit about it. But at the same time, it's something that, and I think this guy was joking with me because I know he had actually on a pair of blue jeans. So that was something that was, same thing. The guy that was preaching against beards was preaching against your blue jeans. He said, well, it's a different time period. That's it. It was a different culture back then. Beards were acceptable in Jesus's day, and the reason, the purposes of the beards, especially with the Nazarite vow of John the Baptist. But then you turn around, and today in the culture, it's not something that's looked down upon, but back way back in the hippie generation is something, oh, no, you shouldn't do that because it means something different. So make sure we understand what the Bible says, and let's stand on the Word of God, and let's make sure we're doing what is appropriate and right, and that we have a love for God, and we want to display that to others. So look at, this is where it gets a little challenging. And the Pharisee said unto him, verse 24, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? He says, why are they doing things that are not lawful? And he's like, they weren't. And he even says to him in verse 25, he says, have you never read what David did when he had need and was a hungered? He and they that were with him. How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. So they're there, and he gives an example. Now, most people would look at you and say, David was wrong for what he did. It was only for the priests. Now, do I say I have all the answers to this? I don't. There's a lot of different thoughts that are behind it. There's a lot of different people say, well, you can look at it from this angle and look at this angle and look at this angle. I look at it as Jesus is telling the Pharisees, hey, look, don't be hypocritical about what you're teaching. And he's saying to them, remember what David did when he was hungry, and that even the priest himself gave these loaves to David to eat because there was a great need there. And he's showing the disciples are there, and he's saying, look, they're hungry. Because they hungered, they ate something. They didn't break the law. They broke what your rituals were. And he says, stop trying to force things upon people and on people's hearts over and over and say, and he said, go back. And he says, even in this spot, when there was a law being broken because David was on, after a three-day journey, they were hungry. He had some men that were there with them. They asked him different things. It's an interesting story. But at the same time, he says, when it came to the person that was hungry, he says, they just gave them some bread. So what do you learn from that? Is that there is a purpose to the law. There's a reason for the law. But look what it says in verse number 27. He says, the Sabbath was made for man and not the man for Sabbath. Saying the Sabbath, it was made for man. And the idea that the man could rest, and the idea that man was going to be able to take time to reflect and refresh and all those other things. But at the same time, Sabbath was over here, that the religious leaders of the day began to add this rule and add this rule and add this rule, to the point it became about man following these rules, and it become as a blessing to the man. It became something that was a stressful thing for the man, and it was something that was not an encouragement and a help to him. Instead, it became something that was a burden to him. And God expected the law to be something that was not a burden, but something that we could learn about him, something that we could grow from him, something we could learn. Hey, this is how I'm supposed to live. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. First John talks about how the commandments of God should not be grievous to us. And so when we look at the Word of God and we learn the Word of God, it's these things are the things that can make us blessed. These things are the things that can make us happy. These things are not the things that these Pharisees were trying to do. Let me add this to you, and let me add this to you, and let me add this to you, and let me add this to you. And not ever bend when it comes to something and use some common sense when it talks about the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. It's kind of what I think he's saying here. You might disagree. Did David do wrong here? David lied to the priests. And so when he lied to the priest, he did wrong there. He wasn't being completely obedient because he talked about coming for the king and being on the journey for the king. He was running from the king. But Jesus himself uses this example. He says, I want you to pay attention to this here. He says, you Pharisees, you're being hypocritical here. You're blaming my disciples. You're doing this and that. And I think people have turned away from churches because there are so many people out there that act hypocritical at times. And aren't willing to be kind and gracious. Now, there are times when people are ugly and people go against the law of the Lord, and they do it in spite. They do it because they want to see people correct them, and that's foolishness. But I want to encourage you today, make sure your heart is right. Make sure that when you are there and you're questioning somebody else, you're praying for somebody else, you look at this passage of Scripture and say, was my heart right? It is very challenging as a pastor for someone who obviously has not acted like God, has not acted like they love the Lord, and they have a bad attitude, and they come up and they start telling me what we should do and how we should do things differently. Now, once again, if people have questions, man, we love the questions. We're great for that. Let's sit down and talk. I encourage people to do that all the time. But you know what happens is that when people are acting in the flesh and they turn around and say, well, I think we should do this. Do you want me to follow somebody that's living in the flesh, or do you want me to follow someone who loves the Lord? And it's a hard thing. Yes, if there's issues in comp, then talk about it. But here, these guys are saying, hey, you're breaking the rule that we made. Well, it's the rule you made. It's not the rule God made. You're breaking this. We've done this for so many years. Why aren't your disciples following it? Well, it's because I don't have to follow you. I'm following the Lord. So we should be careful. And like I said, these are things, I mean, sometimes people look at, and there's lots of different things you can look at. I mentioned the beard. You can think about the Sabbath day. Sabbath day was on a Saturday, and the Sabbath day changed. And now it's the, not didn't change, but it's now the beginning of the week that we celebrate. Some people say, hey, you should never, ever go out to eat on a Sunday. Well, I get why people do that, and I appreciate why people do that. But it's not written anywhere in the Bible, per se. Now, it's a Lord's Day. It's a holy day. I think you should be at church. I don't think anything should take you away from church. But it, sometimes people go out and they do things. I don't condemn them for that. I go out to eat sometimes on a Sunday. There are some people who say, this is wrong. You should never, ever do it. And I was like, okay, where in the Bible does it say that? Because the Sabbath day is different than the first day of the week. Yes, they're both the Lord's Day. But it's all those different types of things that people try to narrow down and say, this is the Word of God. That's what they're doing here. But it's not always the Word of God. Sometimes it's a man-made rule. So we need to be careful with it. Now, do we learn things? We do learn things about holy living and taking certain things and all those other things so we can get our convictions. That's all important. You'll hear me preach and teach about that. But make sure that your heart is right as you're questioning different things. Make sure your heart is right, because in this passage of Scripture, the Pharisees struggle. They pulled John over, all the disciples of John also, to talk about fasting, which is something that should have been done privately. But they're like, hey, nobody's seen your disciples do it. How would they have known that they'd done it? It's supposed to be done in private, right? And so he's like, he doesn't even debate with them about it. He doesn't argue with them about it. He just says, hey, look, you're trying to combine two things. It's just not possible to do. And you come there about him eating the wheat or the corn. It just wasn't the truth. They don't think they broke the law. And he says, when a man was hungry, it was something that was reasonable for the priest to give the showbread. And once again, there you can go back and look at this story and say, okay, was it common bread? Was the bread coming off? Was it the priest's responsibility? All those things, that's fine. But Jesus used that as an example and said, hey, don't you remember this? You worship David. You love David. And David did this. And now you're giving my disciples a hard time for not even breaking a law, but instead breaking your man-made rule. And it's a challenging passage of Scripture. I encourage you to get into it and read it. But I think the main part of it is, don't be sitting there and being a hypocrite with what you do. Get your heart right. Encourage others. Don't sit there and say, hey, you should be, you know, when you have no authority in that. Encourage one another in your walk with the Lord and be an encouragement as Jesus was being an encouragement. This was Jesus that did this. It wasn't me. It's not the way I probably would have done it, to be honest with you. But I'm thankful we can learn from him. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your word. And God, I need you. I know we do. And Lord, we want to be right. We want to live holy. We want to be able to explain to others. But Lord, we need to be in a spot where you can use us, a spot where you can bless us, a spot where we can see your spirit and your desire for these things. And he says he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one that's controlling the Sabbath, and it's his disciples. And Lord, there's some challenging times and days that we live in. Help us to be people who have a love for you more than anything else, and help us to want to demonstrate that to others by teaching others, not looking down upon others, not trying to force ourselves on others, but instead a way and opportunity to truly have conversations, biblical conversations about what is right and what is wrong. And then when we see that the Word of God may be silent about something, that we believe in our own convictions, but it's not something that we're going to have to force on someone else. Lord, help us. Help us have wisdom. Lord, teach us what you want us to learn. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed. They're getting ready to have rally snack time in here, so if you can help us clean up the songbooks, that'd be great.